So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Myself, I would surely perish. But if I trust the hand of God, He shields the flames again.
So good, He has protected each and every last one of us. And I said the other day that, well, God's been good to me since I've been saved. But you know what? Looking back on my life and all the things that He has helped me through and brought me from, He's been good to me before I got saved and knew Him. Amen. We just serve a good, good God this morning, one who is willing to go the whole way with you and me through our lives, ups and downs. I'm glad that when we go through times of difficulty and heartache and pain, He's there. Doesn't mean we won't feel any pain. It just means that He'll bear us up and that He will get us through it. So I praise the Lord this morning for having an on-time God and a God that is willing to go the whole way. Amen. Well, welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. And I haven't put my microphone on yet, so I will in a minute. We'll use this pulpit mic, and so good to see everybody here this morning. We want to welcome our visitors. If you're visiting with us, I know we have a few that's visiting with us, but it's not your first time, and thank you for coming back, being here with us at Calvary. You are our honored guest, and I just want to thank those that are watching by way of Facebook. We do not take you for granted. This past week, we spoke with several people, and they just kept saying how that they've been enjoying the online services, and they recognize us from our online services. And I just thank the Lord for that outlet that we have, and thank you for watching by way of Facebook. And all the other areas we have, our webpage, our radio. Thank God that he uses this church to get the word out. And so we appreciate you being with us. I do want to mention some things this morning. But first, I just want to say we had a great vacation. And we had a great time down in Florida. And of course, we came back on Sunday. And I know you had a couple great services here. And then the Wednesday night before, when we were out of town that Wednesday as well last week, that Brother Jeff covered things. And thank you to Brother Jeff and Brother Snyder for this past Sunday. Some great services, and so we appreciate you letting us get away for a week, and we just had some good family time together, so thank you. My grandfather's here this morning, and my Aunt Patty's here, and my grandmother is at home, but this past week, they're grandparents' son, my Aunt Patty's brother, and my uncle passed away, and we had his funeral services on Friday, and so yet they're here this morning with us, and tell me that ain't the grace of God, the enablement of Jesus to having buried a loved one and then being in God's house the very next Sunday. So thank you all for coming. You know we love you, and we're here for you every step of the way. And our church is here for you, too. They have taken you all in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, Aunt Patty. But please pray for them. Days ahead will be rough, and to say the very least, this isn't, unfortunately, their first time experiencing this. So please continue to pray for them. And then also, we got a message this morning. Miss Shirley Townsend had some kind of infusion this week, and she can't breathe well. In fact, she's on oxygen this morning, and she's at home. So please remember Miss Shirley Townsend, Miss Dolores Palmer. She is struggling with her recovery of her hernia operation. I spoke with her the other day, and she thinks it may be getting a little better. And they've had to do several things to help heal the wound, so just continue to remember her, and of course, Brother Leonard and family. Don Capistrano is here. She has a surgery coming up this month. Let's remember her in prayer. Miss Claudia Darby, continue to remember her in prayer with the things that she has going on, her physical ailments. So, and everybody else on our prayer list, let's just remember one another before we have a lot of people on our prayer list. On another note, some upcoming events, things to remember. We're going to go through the month of August with our Sunday nights being downstairs in the fellowship hall. And so remember that. Of course, we'll be down there tonight at 5 o'clock for our evening service with some refreshments and a devotion. We'll be going through the month of August. We're back in school now. That was our summer program. And I know everybody enjoyed that. But we will definitely go through the month of August. Also, on Thursday, this coming Thursday, will be the ladies' prayer brunch over at Marianne Sanvey's house. It was packed out last time, and Marianne's house. But we're praying that it'll be packed out again. So it's... it's a brunch, but also it's prayer for the church. And if you are a lady and this is something that you've been wanting in your life, a ladies group meeting of this sort, I urge you to go and be part of that. You'll be blessed. On the 20th of this month will be our baptism service. We've got four to baptize. We praise the Lord for that. Looking forward to that. And looking ahead a little bit, on the 10th of September is our homecoming here at the church. On the 11th, we're singing, our choir singing in Victory. And so we thank the Lord for that as well. Just have some good things on our calendar that we're looking forward to doing. And one last thing. Before we dismiss today, this morning, I'd like to, after the invitation, I'd like to call our young people forward. School is back in session, and we want to have a prayer over those who are going to school. And I believe Brother Kevin's going back to college Wednesday, something like that. And so we want to do that as well. That's my announcements. And if you're glad you're here today, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to do something mighty today. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. And Lord, I'm just thankful that you are a present Lord. You're here to help. Lord, help us to surrender our efforts, which causes us, Lord, to be anxious, be discouraged sometimes when we don't go as far as we want to go and get over the things we want to get over. So, Lord, we'll just surrender to you today, and we pray that you'll take care of what we can. We pray for all these on our prayer list. I pray for my grandparents, my family, my Aunt Patty, Lord, that you would strengthen them and be with them. Just be very near to them during this time. And Miss Dolores, Lord, and Miss Claudia, Don Capistrano, Lord, all the rest, Miss Shirley, Lord, and her breathing difficulties, God, you know who needs what this morning. And so we lift all of these things, all of these requests, even the unspokens that people don't want to share, but there's something going on in their life that they need help with. God, you know about it. We give it all to you this morning. Meet with us in a very special and mighty way. And I pray that by the time we leave, we'll be better than when we came here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Church, if you'll stand with me this morning. Choir, stand with me. Turn over to page number 139. Let's everyone sing together at Calvary. Sing now.
Jesus made eternity and pride. Care is not my Lord, his lucid pride. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Choir, we'll have choir practice this evening at 4. Choir practice at 4. Now, if I say this a lot, but have you been praying about becoming, maybe that's the way I need to put it, have you been praying about becoming a member of the choir? Or maybe coming back to the choir? We got a few seats available, and we would love to have you. We have homecoming coming up. That's always an exciting time for the choir. We'll start tonight working on the songs for that, so you'll be ready. You won't have to worry and or about feeling uncomfortable. And then right after that, we've got a choir appointment. That's always a blessing and a great time. So we are very excited about what the Lord's doing and our music program. So you please come. Come to me, speak to me, be at choir practice this evening at 4. We'll meet right here in the choir. It'll be a great opportunity for you to either come to the choir or come back to the choir. All are invited. Amen. And we're very excited. The Lord's been good to us, and we look forward to some great times as the Lord gets us ready for homecoming as well as our choir appointment. Again, if you're visiting with us, you are a special guest here at Calvary. And we just pray that the Lord would so fill you today with His Holy Spirit. Speak to each one of us. And when we leave, we'll be able to say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Let's go to Him again in word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service, on pastor, on the offering, and just the moving of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit in this place. Brother Larry, would you take us this morning to the Lord in a word of prayer?
David sang the praises of the glory. not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him, how I worship and adore Him, when I can see no way, He makes a way? And did I mention He's been faithful
that testimony, Miss Amanda. And it's been good being here so far this morning. I want to slow the tempo down just a bit so I can catch up. Anyone else have a word of praise before we begin? Sir, Psalm was giving praise for praying for his father, getting his wheelchair, and VA benefits. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else before we get started? Brother Harold? Thoracic. Okay. 21st. We sure will, Brother Harold. Sure will. Good to see you this morning. All right. Anyone else? Miss Darlene. Thank you, Miss Darlene. He's worthy to be praised this morning. All right, anyone else? Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Mary Ann's former church in Florida just found a pastor and then went a long time without one. It's hard on a church without a pastor. Thank you, Ms. Mary Kelly, for that praise. Praising the Lord for his goodness. Anyone else? Yeah. Patty. Bless you. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, Patty. Completely healed. Again, the brother of Patty, son of my grandparents, and my uncle. Love my uncles. Got another uncle there. And got another aunt there. And my mother's there. Boy, it's going to be a reunion day someday. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Anybody else before we get going? All right. Well, we just appreciate everyone and their testimonies. And when the Lord moves in the heart, he opens the lips. And so we appreciate the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, just make your way, if you would, to the book of Exodus, Old Testament book of Exodus. Familiar story. We have certainly preached it several times. This Exodus 14 is where we're going to be for a few moments this morning. And I have preached from this story several times in my years of preaching. And the Lord has showed me something brand new, something different. I'm sure you've heard it every way preached that you can preach it, but the Lord showed me a little different view and something near and dear to my heart, and so I want to mention this morning out of Exodus chapter number 14. In just a moment, we're going to read verse number 10 down through verse number 15, but I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to summarize what's going on to this point. Father, we love you. We come in Jesus' name one more time. Lord, this is the very most important part of the service, and so I pray that you give me a clear head and a calm heart. God, I know your word's in my heart. is fixed, is firm, is settled, and I'm ready to deliver. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll use it to challenge your people, to encourage your people. All this we pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, this morning I want to give a challenging word, but at the same time I want to give an encouraging word. And what's taking place here in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, at least previously to this point, we have God's people that were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And finally, they were free. Can you imagine how God's people felt being a freed slave and slaves? I mean, under that harsh hand of Egypt's leader, who they call Pharaoh, the whips and just the harshness to force them in manual labor, they're now free. So this was a wonderful thing that finally their leader in Egypt, Pharaoh, let God's people go. Of course, we know that this happened by God's power and Moses' leadership. They have come to the Red Sea. They're out of Egypt. And God is directing them to Canaan land. Canaan land was God's place for God's people. And the whole idea was to get them out of Egypt, out of that place of bondage, get them out of that place of slavery, and go to that happy, joyful place that God had for them. I want to say this morning, as I'm introducing the subject, that's God's goal for you, and that's God's goal for me. To get us out of a place where we are a slave to the devil, where we are enslaved to the flesh, and get us unbound and get us to a place where we can enjoy life, where we can walk in purpose and we can just enjoy everyday life knowing that God is in control. So we see that the children of Israel are on an exodus, leaving Egypt and heading straight course to the land of Canaan. But they run into the Red Sea. And we know that when they run into the Red Sea, they look backwards and they see that Pharaoh is on their tracks again. He let them go, but now he's after them. And Pharaoh's men are after God's people. And so that's the setting that we have. They're at a dead end, staring at the Red Sea. Behind them, the enemy is on their tracks. Notice, if you would, in Exodus 14, in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone. Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I want to stop reading there. That's reading Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10 through 15. I want to call your attention specifically to a phrase in verse number 15. The phrase that says, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." I want to preach this morning for a few moments on that subject. Go forward. The words "go forward" in the Hebrew here, it literally means to pull up. And it's through the idea of removing tent pegs and packing up the tent and moving forward. We just got back from Florida, and we had a great time down there in Panama City. And there was only one day that, I believe it was just one day, where there were was double red flags. And those who have been to the beach, Panama City, or maybe the System Forever Beach, I don't know, but you're not allowed to swim when it's double red flags. In fact, there have been 14 people who have died this summer in Panama City due to swimming in the ocean, not paying attention to the warning signs in the rip current taking them under. 14 people have died this summer in Panama City. But the other days was good days, and it wasn't double red flags. And we went and we enjoyed the water. I think I got like a third or fourth degree burn on my back. It was crazy. And I cried like a baby last night there, the whole night. And I was fine the next day. But we brought a tent, a canopy there, and we'd set it up on the beach and drive down the stakes, the pegs. And when it was time to leave, we had to lift up, pull up those tent pegs, those stakes. Of course, we would pack up our canopy, and then we would leave. And so God says here to Moses, "I want you to tell the people to go forward. You tell my people it's time to take up the tent pegs. It's time to take up the stakes as through a tent. Pack up your tent and move forward." God this morning wants us to be people who are moving forward in our lives. It's time this morning that we pull up our tent pegs in some areas and move on. Don't you agree? There may be some hurts. There may be some habits. There may be some hang-ups in our life that we need to move on from. All of us have at least one hurt, one habit, one hang-up that we need to just get over and move forward with Jesus on. I like what the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 3. Don't turn there. I'm going to shoot out about four or five fast verses, and we're going to move on. But Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, moving forward unto those things which are before." He says in verse 14, "I press toward the mark," that's moving forward, "for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And we know that in the book of Genesis, chapter number 8, verse 16, God said to Noah after the rains came and after they were in that ark 40 days and 40 nights, he tells Noah, "Go forth of the ark." It was God's will for not Noah and his family to stay in the ark, but to go forth out of the ark and possess all the land. It was Jesus that died upon the cross and he was buried in a tomb. But on the third day, he went forth from that tomb. And he's alive even today making intercession for us. We serve a resurrected Lord, a resurrected Savior. And I see that when he went forth from the grave, he was actually preaching a message to us to be people who move forward. In the book of John, chapter number 11, in verse number 43, we see that Jesus walked up to the tomb of Lazarus and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." He was calling Lazarus from the grave, and the Bible says that Lazarus came forth.
See, God is a God who wants us to come forth. He wants us to move forward. Something else about Lazarus, whenever he went forth, he was bound in grave clothes. He was wrapped up tight and he couldn't get free. But then Jesus says, loose him and let him go. And the grave clothes fell off of him. Listen, this morning you may be bound with some kind of sin in your life. You may be bound with some kind of hurt. You may be bound with some kind of hang-up, some kind of habit. But Jesus wants you to move forward. And the only way for you to move forward and to be released from your place of bondage is by trusting Jesus and walking with Him in faith. This morning, we have a God who is all about moving forward. Will you move forward this morning? Will you decide that there's some areas in my life that I just need to lift those pegs, pack up the tent and say, you know what? I've spent too much time here. It's time to move on. I don't know what those areas are. It may be, again, some hurt, habit, hang up. Maybe some relationship. I'm certainly not endorsing divorce, but what I'm saying is there may be some toxic relationships that you need to move forward from. There may be some kind of, some kind of stronghold in your life that you are codependent upon. Jesus wants us to be codependent upon Him and trust Him alone. Not to say we don't struggle. Not to say we don't fight, try not to get into bondage. But what I'm saying is Jesus don't want us to stay in bondage. He don't want us to stay in our struggle. He wants us to move forward. So this morning we have a God who is wanting us to move forward. I want to share with you four things about why is it important to go forward. Brother Justin, why is it so important to go forward? What I'm dealing with, you have no idea, and I don't want to deal with it. I think God has a word for you today. We all could go around the room and do inventory of our own lives and our minds and hearts. And I guarantee you, we all have something that we just need to move on from. And so I want to tell you why it's important to move forward and why you cannot afford to stay in the rut that you're in. Number one, when you fail to go forward, you cease to walk by faith and start living in fear. Look at verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. The children of Israel, God's people, they didn't have a speck of fear when they were released from Egypt. When God delivered them from Egypt, they didn't have a speck of fear. Perhaps when they left Egypt, they even had a praise on their lips, Brother Harold. Thanks be unto God, we're not slaves anymore. We are free. They had God's praise on their lips. They were free for the first time in 400 years. They were on their way, moving forward to Canaan land. But the minute they stopped going forward, the second that they ran into the Red Sea, and they looked in the rear view, they ceased to walk by faith, and fear settled in. Fear replaced their faith. Their eyes were on what was behind them, the enemy. They were looking in the rear view, so to speak. And any time in life when you stop believing and trusting that the Lord will see you through, and you start to focus on your problems, you start to focus on your dilemma, you cease to live by faith and you're starting to live in fear. And fear is a terrible thing to live with. If you're filled with fear, it could be a sign that you have stopped going forward in your spiritual journey. Think about it. This morning, whatever you're going through, you may be fearful. Oh, Lord, what if this happens? Oh, Lord, what if that report comes back and it's not in my favor? Oh, Lord, what if I don't have enough money at the end of the month to pay the mortgage and all these other bills? Oh, Lord, what happens if something happens to my child or my wife? Oh, Lord, what happens if this and this and this and that? And what happens is when you get to that place of fear, you have cease to walk by faith, and this is a sign that you're not moving forward. When this happens, you'll begin, listen to me, when this happens, you will begin to believe the lies of the devil. You will begin to believe that the devil will put the fear of sickness in you. He may be putting the fear of sickness in you, the fear of death. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm never going to live through this. There's the fear of bankruptcy. Satan likes to put that fear in people. The fear of failure and many more other kind of fears. The devil likes to do that. Many times in life when we get to a place where there's a dead end and we just can't muster up the faith to move forward, or we choose not to trust God, it's because we have turned our eyes off of the Lord in faith and turning our eyes on our circumstances. And then it's then, again, when the devil begins to mess with us and he begins to feed us lies. So we see this morning that when you fail to go forward, you cease to walk by faith and start living in fear. The people of God here, they were sore afraid. Are you moving forward in your spiritual journey this morning? Not to say when you're moving forward in your spiritual journey, I'm not saying that you won't experience challenges, but ultimately, if we're fearful, faith is not present. So we see that these things are happening, and God's Word tells us that we have victory over these things in our life, and we have victory over fear in our life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." This morning, you don't have to live in fear. But there are times when we do, and it's because we've stopped moving forward in faith. The people of God are deadlocked. What are they going to do? So this morning we're dealing with going forward. Why is it important to go forward? When you fail to go forward, you cease to walk by faith and start living in fear. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only that, but why is it important to go forward? Number two, when you fail to go forward, and listen to this, your attitude will change. Your attitude will change. Look at verse 11. "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" They're saying, telling Moses, well, the reason you brought us out here to this no man's land, is it to bury us because there's more room? Back in Egypt, was it that the cemeteries are too packed to bury us there? You're just going to bury us here? So he begins, the children of Israel began to have a change of attitude. They're now complainers. They're complaining. The children of Israel are murmuring and they're complaining because of their circumstance. But the problem wasn't Moses' fault. The problem was wrapped up in their faith. They blamed their faith problem on Moses. Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? It ain't Moses' fault they're not believing in God. I mean, if God took them from Egypt and on the way to take them to Canaan land, don't you think that God can get them through the Red Sea, around the Red Sea, over the Red Sea? Don't you think that wasn't impossible with God? But they blamed Moses. They blamed the leader because of their lack of faith. Moses and his leadership wasn't the problem. It was their lack of faith. They thought they were going to die. And whenever you stop going forward, there is a change of attitude. There's this complaining spirit. Let me say this. A negative change in attitude is a sign of no forward progress. Let me go a step further. Complainers are those not moving forward. Amen. Complainers are those not moving forward. You want to know why? Because those that are moving forward have no time to complain. So for someone that's not moving forward in their spiritual journey, they are complaining. I don't like what that church is doing. I don't like this and that. We don't have this going on for that church. We don't got this and we don't got that. The pews ain't all filled up. Let me ask you something. Are you moving forward in your spiritual life? And I can just tell you right now, most likely not, because you are complaining. Those who are busy with their hand to the plow. But listen, we're so busy. Our face and eyes are on the ditch we're digging so that God will fill it up with water. We're too busy to complain. Ain't that right, Brother Allen? The 10% that does 90% of the work in the Baptist churches, we're so busy working and laboring and supporting the church and doing all these things, we don't have time to complain. But it's those this morning who have stopped making progress in their spiritual lives. It are those this morning who have been stationary since only God knows when. Those are the complainers. The complainers are those have a change of attitude. They're complaining about what's going on in life. And they're simply complaining is because they're not moving forward. Preach, brother, this morning. When you fail to go forward, your attitude will change. It doesn't surprise me why I come in here sometimes and some people have the worst smelling attitude I've ever experienced. But you know what? I just mark it down in the book. They have stopped moving forward. They don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. Why don't I act like Jesus this morning? And maybe something will happen and maybe they'll change and they'll start moving forward. This morning we need to be people who move forward. Fail to go forward, your attitude will change. They said to Moses, why did you bring us here? That we may die? Is it because there were no open spots in Egypt to bury us? They were blaming the man of God for their end of their dead end experience of the Red Sea with the enemy on their back. They were blaming him when it was their own faith to be blamed. That's number two. Let me mention a third thing. Why is it important to go forward? Listen to me. Some of you may think I'm being harsh this morning. I told you it was going to be a challenge and a word of encouragement at the end. When you fail to go forward, you will start going backward. When you fail to go forward, you will start going backward. Look at verse 12 again. Middle ways. Well, verse 12 at the top. He says this. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone." Can you believe? In slavery, they said, "Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." I don't understand it fully. I just know they said, "Moses, we are in a tough spot, and we told you to leave us alone. You should have left us serving in bondage in Egypt, because now we're going to die." Their mind was going back to Egypt. Their minds were going back to that place of bondage. They were rehearsing what they went through and comparing it to now where they were. He said, "You should have left us there. It was bad, but it's better than this. You should have left us there, Moses. You should have left us there, and we should have died there and not die here. It was bad back then. I mean, we were getting whipped and beaten and all those other things, but it's nothing like now." Oh, it was much worse in Egypt. It's just that they spent a little time out of Egypt, and they were in a new way following the Lord, and because of the lapse of time, they thought it was better. I want to say this morning that when it comes to moving forward, when we fail to go forward, we will start going backward. We, like Israel, could also look back on our lives and say, "It was bad then, but it's not as bad now. It was bad back before I got saved, but it's not as bad now. I'm thinking about going back to my old way of living. I'm thinking about going back to drinking and smoking and drugging and clubbing and fighting and cussing and all those things. That might be better than now." Let me say this morning, a bad day as a Christian is far better than a good day as a lost person. There is nothing to go back to Egypt for. There is nothing but heartache and pain. There is nothing but loss and death. The way may grow hard sometimes, but the Lord, He didn't say that it'll be easy, but He said that He will make it possible this morning. He will walk you through the fire. He will allow you to go through the depths of adversity, and He will bring you out on the other side this morning. Why? Because He wants you to be a person that's moving forward. Sometimes the devil, if I had to be honest, gets on my shoulder. You know, I'm an honest man. Some people don't think I'm too honest when I preach. The devil sometimes gets on my shoulder and says, "Buddy, you know you ain't gonna make it. So what? You've been saved for 20 years. You just wait till I allow this situation to get in your life. You won't sink." He gets on my shoulder sometimes and says, "You remember all those nights? Drunk? You felt good, didn't you?" He said, "You remember all those nights buying drugs on the corner and snorting it as you got in your car and left? Remember how good you felt? Remember all them good time buddies that were there for you, and how you grouped together and got in those fights? You were like a gang. You were a group of guys that looked out. You remember all those good times? Look at you now. Big boy, the God you preach three times a week is letting you dry up. Huh? Has anybody been there? In the right set of circumstances, you've been following the Lord a long time, and the devil get on your shoulder because you are in a tough place and say, God has abandoned you. God has set you up for a fall." He tries to do that sometimes. The devil always tries to provoke God's people to go back. He always has a counterfeit over the thing that's true and real, Jesus and His joy. The devil has a counterfeit to that, the things that satisfy the flesh, but it always brings death. This morning, if we're not moving forward, we're going backwards. Israel desired to go back to Egypt instead of going forward. A Again, they thought they were going to die moving forward because of their lack of faith. Therefore, they said they would rather be back in bondage in Egypt rather than embracing Jesus in faith moving forward. When we're not moving forward, the possibility of going backwards is very high. Let me mention this on this same point. Genesis 19:26, don't turn there. I'll give it to you. Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. The Lord rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah fire and brimstone because of the great wickedness and homosexuality and all of the rest of it. It was an abomination to the Lord, much like the way America and the world is in the shape it's in now. Great wickedness, homosexuality, and wanting all of us to accept it. There came a day when fire and brimstone, it was God's righteous judgment, it came down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot left, children left, his wife was behind him. And the moment she looked back, she was turned into a statue. I read a lot of commentators yesterday, and they said that the Bible doesn't indicate she hit the floor. She probably was an actual statue, bodily form, moving like she's running away. She was looking back at the things she loved in Sodom. Hey, she had a home. She had her family. I'm not saying she was messed up with all the rest of the wickedness, but she was looking back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And because of her lingering and looking, she was turned to a pillar of salt. This was a monument of disgrace. This was a reminder to all of those in that time and to our current time to not look back during hard times. Don't look back to the world. Keep moving forward. And it said in Luke chapter number 17, I'll just give it to you, about Lot's wife, verse 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Move forward. Verse 32 says, remember Lot's wife. The Bible's telling us to move on. Go forward. And so we see this here in the life of Israel as they, in verse number 12, they were going backwards. They were thinking backwards. Let me mention one more and we'll be through. Talking about going forward and why it's important to go forward. Number four, when you fail to go forward, this is my encouragement to you, you will not see the miraculous. We're not going to read all the verses for the sake of time, but verse 21 through 23 tells us, look at verse 21 of Exodus 14. And Moses stretched out his hand over the Red Sea, the place where they were stopped. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went. They went forward. They went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 23 tells us the Egyptians pursued them to the midst of the sea. Verse number 25 tells us that the Lord took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. Verse 26, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. Moses did that. Verse number 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea. After them, there remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Saul and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. When you fail to move forward, you will not see the miraculous. Israel did experience the hand of God. They went forward finally in verse 22. Verse 25, God took care of their enemy. He knocked their wheels off. Is an enemy after you today? God will knock his wheels off, but you got to be moving forward. God took care of the enemy. God made a way when there was no way. They went forward finally. And when we move forward, we experience the miraculous hand of God as well. We'll experience God making a way when there is no way. We'll experience God taking care of our enemies when we're moving forward. We will experience God relieving our fears when we move forward. God increasing our faith when we move forward. But then lastly, praise will be on our lips when we move forward. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. That word of praise only comes when you're moving forward and you're not stuck at a place looking backwards. Father, we love you. We thank you this morning for the message. We thank you for the attention of the people. Just a challenging word, a word of encouragement at the same time. Give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand to your feet and please come on the